Kiwi fyrer opp grillen med billig sommer- og grillmat. Saftige burgere og sunt tilbehør. Godt for oss som elsker å grille. Hva med 2 ganger 180 gram Big Beef Burger og Big Juicy, som vant både gull og sølv I NM for best kvalitet til 49,90 per pakke? Eller 2 burgere av fisk, svin eller kylling til kun 39,90 per pakke? Utvalget stort. Og prisene like lave hele sommeren hos Kiwi.
Jernverket podcast tilbake med ny sesong. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og traff Steve Cetro Sousa fra Exodus under Inferno. Nå jeg tilbake I Oslo snart med Testament og Death Angel. Før vi kjører intervju har jeg en liten beskjed til. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast trengs det midler. Og jeg har vært frekk nok til å opprette en Patreon-side og en VIPs-konto. Så hvis du vil bidra med noen slanter for å holde Jernverket flytende hadde jeg suttet enormt stor pris på det. Du kan bidra månedlig via jernverkesiden på patreon.com eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPs nummer 567438. Beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst I episodebeskrivelsen med en lenke som fører jeg rett til kassen. Igjen, tusen takk for alle bidragene, og takk for at du hører på. Jeg klarer ikke dette uten deg.
Okay, this is Steve Zetro Sousa from Exodus, and you're listening to Yarmarica. And what I need you to do is start a pit in your living room right now. I'm Steve Zetro Sousa from Exodus, and I am the lead singer.
And you're back now for a third time.
Yes, I am. That's right.
And how is that turned out? What's the difference between now and then?
It's better now than it was then. You can't always... Life changes. Things happen in life. When you think that music is the number one thing in your life, like it was when I was in my 20s, when I came to my late 30s and 40s, I had young children and a whole nother career, and it all of a sudden came back to me, and I don't think I was ready for it at that time. But this time, my children are grown, gone... I was actually divorced with their mother, who was not a big supporter of this. And the woman I'm with now loves that I do this. So it's a lot easier to leave home without worrying about what's going on back there. So actually, for me, this is the best time. I'm having the funnest time ever this time around.
I even saw that your newest album, the one that came in 2014,
right.
It's the highest charting one you've had since the start of your career.
Yeah, which is great. And I mean... If you look at that, it seems like we're starting to appeal, obviously, to a new generation of fans that are really digging the music. And it looks like their parents are the ones passing it down as well. So it's worked out really well on that aspect. Because I remember when we were touring in 2002 and 2004, there weren't a lot of newer kids there, you know. And now I'm seeing the 22, 23, 25-year-olds, you know what I mean? So I'm starting to see that sort of thing.
Probably a drop around the early 2000s, I think.
I would say even earlier than that, kind of, but I think bands like us persevered and we moved forward, and there was the lean times, and now they're starting to get good again. So, you know, I think we'll be going for quite some time now.
But could you give us a little taste of what happened the first few years when you were in Exodus? You weren't the first singer, but you came when they were peaking.
Correct, when it was being built. I was, I kind of look at it like Iron Maiden. Paul was the first singer, but Bruce is the voice of Iron Maiden. And, you know, obviously Bon Scott was a major part of AC/DC, but Brian was in the band for 36 years. So I kind of look at myself as that type of singer. It's like, I'm not the original, but I'm definitely the guy that's identified with the band. And I think that in a singer's realm, in a singer's point of view, it's definitely a good thing to have the original guy come back.
But what made all you guys decide that now's the time for... the oldies to get back together and do this again?
I don't know if it was the oldies. They had another singer, and what happened between them and him is not actually any of my business. You know what I mean? It's like I got a call and I was asked if I was interested again, and I actually came in and auditioned and they liked what I did. So it went from there.
But What is we usually always ask questions like, what's your favorite album in the discography? But if you should pick your least favorite one, the one you're least pleased with, which one would that be?
Force of Habit. Definitely Force of Habit. We were trying to, refine the sound. There's actually songs on that record that I just can't even stand listening to. And there's no other Exodus album that I have songs on that I just can't stand listening to. But I love songs. There's songs that I do love on that album. But there's songs that I just despise on that album.
What's wrong with them?
I just don't think they were aggressive. They weren't heavy enough. They weren't in your face. Go listen to Pleasures of the Flesh, Bonded by Blood, Impact is Imminent, Tempo of the Damned, even the stuff that Rob Duke sang. It was so much more aggressive than Force of Habit. It was like a major record label trying to tell you how to do it, which is exactly what it was.
But is that a big difference now when you compare it to the 80s, the record companies?
It's a complete different business now. It's a complete different business. Records are only the catalyst so that bands can go out and tour. I mean, if you think about it, Iron Maiden puts out a record, probably 100,000 people buy it, but they go and play in front of 50 million people all over the world, you know what I mean? So all it is basically a catalyst. And what movie company did that the music industry did not do was make it so where you can't copy a CD. They ruined themselves by that. So as soon as the computer came out, one guy buys the new Slayer and 10 people go burn it, and that's how they get it. And that's just, there's all the types of downloading companies and Napsters and Spotify's and all kinds of things like that. So it's a bit, different than it was when tours. Tickets were $15 to go see your favorite bands. Now they're $65 to go see her. And t-shirts were $15 and $20. They're $35 and $45 now. So the bands have had to learn how to survive through this. And all it did was just come back on the fan. It always ends with the fan. Fans got to put out more money.
We still want to see our big idols, so you have to go to shows. But how is it for you to play shows now? How has it been to be back on tour for like 5 weeks?
Well, 5 weeks is really nothing. We did 5 weeks with King Diamond. We were home for 3 weeks. Went to South America for 3 weeks. And we're home for 15 days and then started 5.5 weeks here. So it's part of the job. It's what you do. It's what you do. You choose this life. If this is the life you choose, then be happy with how you have to do it.
But are you planning a new catalyst for tours in the future?
Of course. Of course we're going to start writing a new record. You have to do that. You have to do that. And I think as a band and being loyal to your fans, you owe it to your fans to give them new music. This is what you do for a living. How hard is it to write 10 songs? Come on. Spend some time. Write 10 songs.
But do you work differently with songs now compared to when you were younger?
It's all the same process. It's all the same process. Starts with a riff. Riff goes into drums. Drums turns into a song. Song turns into a... It's given to Gary or myself, and we figure out the lyric, how we're going to sing to it, how I'm going to sing to it.
Do you feel that your musical style has changed together with you, or
I think Exodus has always been Exodus. It's always been brutally violent, brutally aggressive, straight up aggressive and in your face. It has never wandered from that. We don't have a ballad. 10 records and we don't have a ballad.
We shouldn't.
There's no reason for one. I don't need to bring the crowd down. I bring the crowd up. I want to see that pit moving constantly.
I hope there will tonight.
I'll make them.
Do you have any really good memories or Spinal Tap stories you could share?
Are you kidding me? I got 100 million of them.
But one you can give us.
Okay, I remember when I first joined the band, we were in New Haven, Connecticut in the United States, and... The crowd, we could hear them inside the venue chanting for the band, but we couldn't get in the venue. We're banging on the door trying to get in, and all of a sudden the security guard opens him and looks at him. Old black guy, just like that, goes, "You guys the band?" He's like, "Yeah." Just like when they're walking through the stairway in Cleveland, going, you got to take a little jog up to the left. He's like, "You guys the band? Aren't you supposed to be on stage?" It's like, duh, but the door was locked. So it's like, so that's kind of, I can go, we've had everything that's happened in that movie has happened to us. So, but that's just one example of a good Spinal Tap story.
What's the coolest band you've ever been on tour with, or the coolest co-show or whatever you can call it?
We toured with Black Sabbath before. That was amazing. In 92, we went out with Black Sabbath for Dehumanizer record, when it was Tony, Geezer, Vinny, and Ronnie, Dio.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a great time on that tour. I will never forget that tour. We've got to play pretty much with all of our heroes and all of our... We've played from everybody from Judas Priest to Iron Maiden, you know what I mean? We know everybody and played with everybody. Last summer we played with our boys Metallica, who we started out with. We were very fortunate to play with everybody, but the Black Sabbath tour definitely stands out in my mind.
By the way, when we're talking about old friends, so Kirk Hammett played on one song.
Salt the Wound. He did a lead on Salt the Wound, yep.
Because he was in the...
He was the original member. Tom and Kirk started Exodus.
How did you get him on the project?
Well, we see them all the time, you know, and we're friends with those guys. So Gary was out to dinner with Kirk, and I think it was around December of 2013, and when he was writing, I said, "Would you be interested in playing in the new Exodus album?" He was like, "Thank you for asking me. Hell yeah, I would." So he did a really great lead on Salt the Wound, and it fit the song really well. So we're very happy that he came in and did it, and we're very proud of that as well.
He wouldn't come with you on tour.
I don't think so.
Maybe that's more difficult with Metallica.
Metallica does it a bit different than we do.
Well, what about Slayer?
What about Slayer?
One of you are... Gary has also been playing a lot with
Slayer. He's in Slayer right now. We have a stunt double tonight.
Oh, does he look just like him so that nobody will notice?
Well, no, but he plays like him so nobody will notice. Note for note, lead for lead. You can close your eyes and will not... If you hear the leads on the albums, he plays the leads live like they're done on the albums. Rhythms and everything. Like I said, if you were blind, you would never even know the difference.
Perfect change for this.
Definitely.
We probably have to round this up because we only got 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
But we need your 10 songs, and one of them are supposed to be an Exodus one. The rest of them, your favorite top 9 heavy metal, progressive, hard rock songs.
Okay. My favorite Exodus song has always been "Deliver Us to Evil," and then my favorite heavy metal song of all time is "Kill the King" by Rainbow. And then I would have to go with probably "Killers" by Iron Maiden, "Hole in the Sky" by Black Sabbath. I would have to probably go to "Soul Stripper" from AC/DC, "Lights Out" from UFO, "Iron Fist" from Motorhead, "South of Heaven" for Slayer, because I love that song so much. "Thunder and Lightning" Thin Lizzy. "Bodies" by the Sex Pistols, and probably "Police Truck" by the Dead Kennedys.
That's some list.
Not bad, huh?
I think even the listeners will be partying while listening to this.
Cool, I hope they have a good time for it.
Du har hørt et intervju med Exodus, som spiller på Rockefeller den 8. februari. Liker du trash, anbefaler jeg deg videre lytting på episoderne med Testament, Equinox og Aura Noir, for eksempel. Neste vecka har jeg plukket frem en gammel autopsy-god bit.
And it was Jeff McCarkus, right?
Yeah, he told Hammy from Peaceville about us, and Hammy wrote to us a letter. We sent him the demos, like, all right, here you go. And he offered us a deal. We signed it. We didn't know anything about Peaceville or anything else.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Hvis du vil bidra med litt kronasj for at jeg kan kunne fortsette med podd, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Det også kult om du slenger inn en god anmeldelse av podden der du lytter. Du må spre det glade budskap, vet du. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram, Facebook og YouTube for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!